Welcome back to Perfect Pitch with Nick Healy-Hutchinson and his fresh approach to the world of classical music. Whether you're an expert or a beginner, old or young, Perfect Pitch has something for everyone.
Flushed with the success of the Enigma variations a couple of years previously, Elgar received a commission from the Royal Philharmonic Society in 1900, the result of which was his overture In London Town, more widely known now as the Cocaine. Cocaine, by the way, was a light-hearted nickname given by some to London at the time as a place representing Utopia. Utopia being a non-existent location where anything goes, where loafing about and indulging in all manner of debauchery or revolt, and generally anything that makes you feel good, is allowed to thrive. It's spelt differently, of course, to another word pronounced in the same way, the use of which may or may not result in a utopian state I absolutely wouldn't know. But the piece is bursting with everything you might expect in Edwardian London, be it cockneys, lovers' romps, brass bands and church bells, all of which culminates in a typical Elgar triumphant finish. Andrew Davis, who recently reached his 80th birthday, is one of Elgar's greatest interpreters. Here he is with the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
we talk about French opera, we tend to think of composers like Berlioz and Bizet, and in so doing overlook another, Jules Massenet, who wrote more than 30 operas, and thus established himself as one of the most preeminent French composers in that field at the end of the 19th century. Only two of them find their way to being performed these days, Manon and Werther. The main reason for this seems to be that the critics of the day felt that his talents were wasted, in that he was rather stuck in his ways, and reluctant to digress from his romantic approach. That may well be true, but there's no denying that Massenet had a gift for melody. Werther's plot, about a young man's obsession with another man's fiancée, ending with him shooting himself out of sheer desperation, was, unsurprisingly, altogether too grim for it to be premiered at the Opéra Comique, so that honour went to Vienna in 1892. The most famous aria in the work, and a fairly demanding one too, is Pourquoi me réveiller? Why should I wake up? Werther is in the depths of despair, and after a brief introduction, it's sung here by the Mexican tenor, and this is one heck of a voice, Rolando Villazon, accompanied by the Orchestre Philharmonique de Radio France, conducted by Evelino Pido.
Traduire, oh, bien souvent mon rêve s'envola sur l'aile de sa veine, et c'est toi, cher poète, qui bien plus tôt m'interprète.
And here's another composer who can, with some justification, feel a little hard done by, the Italian Luigi Boccherini, born in 1743. The man wrote over 100 string quintets, nearly 100 string quartets, and a good deal more chamber music besides, in addition to some 30 symphonies. As an accomplished cellist, he can take credit for giving the cello more prominence in chamber music than it had received up to then, rather than its supportive underlining role. And yet, despite all this, Boccherini is only really known these days for two works, his B-flat cello concerto and his string quintet in E, more specifically, the minuet from that piece. But it's a passage which sums up his eternal optimism, so let's listen to it now. Everybody knows this, so finding something distinctive is difficult. But I tracked down this encore given by the Bavarian Radio Orchestra under Maris Janssens. You may think you know it, and I'm sure you do, but not played like this. Never could I have imagined that something so familiar could have so much colour. We're going to conclude today with the last two movements of Mozart's Symphony No. 35, the so-called Hafna. The piece got its name from the Hafna family to celebrate the ennoblement of their son Sigmund in 1782. The first of the two movements is a minuet, with a traditional trio in the middle by way of contrast, before it returns to the main theme at its conclusion. A trio, by the way, as its name suggests, was originally for three instruments, to accompany a dance, but it's just kept that name, even with the introduction of more instruments. The minuet and trio was widely used by the classical composers like Haydn, Mozart, Schubert and Beethoven, until things got a little bit more adventurous in the mid-19th century with the introduction of the scherzo, meaning joke, which in fact it hardly ever was. The minuet is followed by a presto, which Mozart wanted to be played as fast as possible. It starts quietly, but then launches into this thrilling statement. Charles McCarris and the Scottish Chamber Orchestra produce this really exuberant and crisp sound with Mozart, which I think stands them apart from so many others. Just like the end of his clarinet concerto, where the opening theme returns for the last time, Mozart alters it ever so slightly. It's a tiny detail to bring a smile to your face. But my goodness, does it ever show how the man was never predictable. Thank you for listening, wherever this finds you. If you haven't acted on Nicola's message after the music, please try and find a few minutes to do so. It really does make a difference.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. Nick will be back again soon. Please rate and comment on any of the previous episodes, and if you like what you hear, take a moment to press the follow button, as it helps to spread the word.